Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Female Voices in E-commerce podcast. My name is Chana, and I'm the founder of Owl & Monk, an e-commerce consultancy in Southern Sydney. I work one-on-one with business owners on their e-commerce strategy, website design, and development. Using the right online tools and systems, we make the lives of business owners easier and create personalized e-commerce solutions that help them to sell their products effectively online. I'm also the co-founder of the Shopify Women's Network, an online community designed to empower women to confidently use Shopify to grow their brands. This is a podcast for women looking to take their idea to the world and want the knowledge, inspiration, and connection to build a business that they love. Listen to our podcast series to hear the voices of female founders, entrepreneurs, and advocates who share their stories, experiences, and strategies on how to run a successful retail business. I hope you enjoy the show.
So welcome, Sophie, to the Female Voices in E-commerce podcast. Thanks for joining me today.
My absolute pleasure. It's lovely to be here.
So Sophie is a longtime friend of mine, and she's a local photographer, and she's just a really inspired individual. You'll always find Sophie smiling, sharing knowledge, and inviting you to any kind of function because she is a bit of a social butterfly. I think that's her Italian in her that comes out.
Oh, really?
That's me. I made you embarrassed, have I?
No, that is so true, though.
So Sophie works with local businesses and corporate clients on their brand and their product photography. And she has even taken my own personal branding photos as well. And you would have seen my profile photo with the podcast. So thank you, Sophie.
My pleasure.
And also just an interesting thing we did recently is we actually sat on a panel together as part of Small Business Month. And we spoke about how to adapt your business online with the Sutherland Shire Business Chamber. Would you like to tell me just briefly a little bit about that?
Well, thank you. I joined the board of the Sutherland Shire Business Chamber earlier this year in February 2022, and first job off the rank was to organise the Small Business Month event based on renew, rebuild, recharge. And we actually had a grant from the New South Wales government, and as a chamber we decided that the topics of interest would be about how to adapt to business online, as so many businesses have needed to do over the last couple of years, and also about the supply chain management dealing with the rise of costs and so on, which we're certainly seeing now 3 or 4 months later. So our panel was fantastic. We were able to share our knowledge as individuals in business and the different aspects of online business, whether it's about CRMs or improving your systems, or absolutely important now, the e-commerce Shopify stuff, which obviously you're an expert of.
It was a really, like, I found, of course, quite a engaging panel. Like, we had some really good responses by everyone in the audience. I think it was a topic that was quite relevant to now because we've all gone through quite a transition over the last 12 to 24 months. And being a small business, we all have to adapt constantly to the changing conditions in life, regardless of pandemics and everything in between. So would you like to tell me just a little bit about your business and how you got started with photography and e-commerce?
Oh, long, long ago. So basically, I've always been a photographer. I had my first little Kodak disc camera when I was 12 or 13 years old and took lots of photos through school, and even working in marketing, in corporate marketing within the automotive industry and tourism industries, I was always the one with the camera taking photos at events when we were launching vehicles and things. It was when I had a small family that I decided that that high-end corporate life where I was flying in and flying out every 5 minutes needed to change for myself. It wasn't that, you know, everybody has different needs. And for me, it was really important to be there for my children before and after school, and to limit their time in preschools and things. I really wanted to have that close relationship with them. So after I had my third child, my husband gifted me with a beautiful digital SLR, Canon 40D back then, and that was when I started my business. So I remember the day that I officially went online and registered the ABN, and then a year later I registered the business name. So my official birthday is the 16th of November 2009 with Sophie B Photography, and I haven't looked back.
Oh, congratulations. I definitely couldn't recall what day I registered.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
26th of May for the ABN and the 16th of November. Actual business name. And I was so excited. I remember receiving the letter in the mail and going, I've got my own business. I was so excited.
But it was a very tactile experience back then. I remember going to the registry office and standing in queue, not knowing what I was registering, just kind of taking this hunch that, oh, yes, I'm serious. You know, I'm registering a business. I have an ABN.
Yeah.
And I haven't looked back either.
This is 13 years since then. And last year, I remember I actually took a few people out for lunch and we actually went and celebrated. So I'd like to do the same again this year because I think it is an accomplishment, especially given the last couple of years with the pandemic.
Yeah, definitely. Like 10 years is a lot of transition in life and business. And you would have seen your business evolve numerous ways over that time.
I used to print stickers for CDs.
Oh, wow.
And DVDs. I still remember that I used to buy packs of round stickers and I used to design the cover and put them through the printer and put them on top of the DVD for weddings and family portraits. Yeah. And now it's just completely different.
Well, you love technology. So tell me, what's the process like now to actually share those photos with people?
It's completely different. So gone are the days of DVDs, USBs, can't remember the last time I did a USB, going up to the post office, making sure it was all delivered on time, as so many of us would know. Now I'm really proud of myself because in 2019, I made the decision to automate a lot of my CRM processes and things like that. So I started with an industry-based CRM named Studio Ninja. And it was really fortunate that I did that because when the pandemic hit, I was already set up with workflows and quotes and invoicing and all that sort of thing. I've then integrated Shootproof with Studio Ninja. And Shootproof is a platform where I share my imagery. So now, after I've done the photo shoot and all the images are ready, it's simply an upload of the gallery and an email to the client. So you're just saving so much time. And in the current market, people want their photos straight away. There are certain jobs I do, they need them literally within hours. And because I've got that set up, I'm not running or driving or dealing with couriers or Australia Post. I'm just uploading. And as long as now we've got the internet, we can make it happen, which is fabulous.
But it's a far more resourceful as well as sustainable option as well.
So absolutely.
You don't have to worry about things going missing or not arriving on time. You know, as long as somebody has an internet connection. And the fact is you're not wasting a floppy disk or a CD or, you know, any kind of packaging or anything to get that to the client.
I used to spend a lot of money on packaging just so that it looked good when it arrived. Whereas now it's about, you know, making the photos stand out so much more. And I think what's really funny is I always try and have a lovely image on the opening face of the gallery and all that sort of thing. And the most complicated part is getting the password right, you know, and setting up a password that is safe because I like my clients to have that security as well. So every single password is unique and then sharing that. And then, you know, I did an event on the weekend and I've got suppliers contacting me already. It's just a matter of emailing that through to them and then bang, they've got their photos ready to use on LinkedIn and other social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, brilliant. And then tell me a bit about the current camera that you're using.
So, very, very excited. I just did a photo shoot before this podcast, actually. So it's all sitting on the floor next to me in the room here because I'm very, very protective of my gear. It's all insured. I've got the latest Canon R5 full-frame mirrorless cameras. So in 2020, I decided that I needed an upgrade. So I upgraded from my Canon 5D Mark IIIs into full-frame mirrorless cameras, and they're phenomenal.
So what is the difference when you're taking a photo between the two cameras that you find?
So the Canon R5 it's just built with so much technology. So I now have eye tracking. So if a bride is walking down the aisle, the camera tracks the eye of the bride so you don't lose the focus on the person walking, which is phenomenal. That's amazing for children. It's amazing for animals. It's amazing in so many different ways. So that in terms of taking photos is one aspect. The other one is we can actually download the images while we shoot. So we can have it connected to an app on our phone. So while we're doing the shoot, the photos can automatically be downloaded to our phone, which means if you are shooting an event, rather than, the client taking photos on their iPhone, you can say, look, in 20 minutes, like in gaps between, you can just airdrop images from your phone to them, and that way they've already got quality photos.
But I think that's a wonderful option because it means that people at the event, you know, the wedding, the fashion show, whatever the shoot is, they're fully present.
Absolutely.
Because when people have their phones out, they're distracted. Plus you get that big ugly looking phone in your photos as well, you know it's, you've got this beautiful scenery and then somebody's head and then a phone in the way.
Well, it's like this morning. So the client that was organising the event, it was a beautiful event this morning. They actually had an Aboriginal smoking ceremony followed by morning tea at a local Southern Chai business. And I was able to capture that, which meant that because I was doing that, I'd been delegated that. The CEO and the other members of the board and other guests were able to just focus on being very present for the Aboriginal smoking ceremony. It's beautiful.
That's really a special experience. I think that you were invited to be a part of that. I look forward to seeing those photos too. And I would like you to tell me just a bit about the type of photography you're taking. So, you know, you said you're working with weddings, but also corporate as well.
Yes, actually, I have to share something. This week... and I'm not sure when with the podcast and timing and all that sort of thing, but a lady called Mrs. Navara from the Navara Group, so the Dalton Houses of the world and so on, passed away this week.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
And they were she and her husband Filippo started the Concordato Lounge in Riverwood. So you mentioned before my Italian background. I grew up going to Italian events and weddings and so forth at the Concordato Lounge, and they really were the innovators of big functions in Sydney done right. And everyone knows Dalton House now, and you know, Curzon Hall. There's kind of two families that own a variety of those different venues. But that's where I learned customer service, and that's where I learned my love for weddings. I loved it as a teenager, going to wedding after wedding. And a lot of that follows through to what I do now, I think, from what I learned just being a guest at those venues. So initially I started doing weddings and family portraits and newborn photography. But with my background in corporate, it's transitioned more into corporate photography. So I think about 80% of my work now is based on working with corporates, corporate headshots, commercial work, personal branding, that sort of thing. And funny I say that because this week alone I've had two or three inquiries for family portraits. So I still get those inquiries. I don't advertise for them at all, but I still get those inquiries and I still do those jobs.
Because what do you think inspires you when you're taking a photograph of somebody? Because I don't think it really matters what the context is. There's obviously something that's drawing you in.
Yes, that photography makes me very present. Photography allows me to be in the moment, and I think that's a real gift. And I think that that's when I'm shooting events, weddings, corporate functions, even if it's a portrait of somebody for a business, I like having the opportunity to make them feel special.
Yeah, and also making them feel comfortable too. I know when we went to the city to do my photos, we just had a lot of fun.
We had heaps of fun.
And I was so nervous and I was wardrobe changing and I wasn't comfortable, but you made me feel comfortable.
Thank you. And that's what actually yesterday I photographed a lady and she said, just as I was exiting, she said, thanks so much for that. And I looked at her and she said, I just felt really comfortable. And I said, oh, fantastic. I said, you know, it is a strange experience to get dressed up, get your hair done, makeup. Some people go to a lot of effort. Others not as much effort because they don't want to or it's just not their thing. But it's about capturing each individual for who they are. And, you know, I've been really privileged recently. I hope one of my photos was in the Australian last week.
Oh, congratulations.
And it was for the CEO of an organisation and she contacted me. I did her photos and She's like, oh, I need them for next week. They're going to be in the Australian. I was like, oh, really? And I got all excited and I just loved it when I saw it online. I was like, oh, perfect. It really captured who she was and she felt really, really beautiful.
Because for our international listeners, The Australian is an Australian-based newspaper. It's online and it's offline.
One of the really exciting things is when I see my photos in, like, so after the event, where they're going to be used. So, for instance, a photo shoot I did this morning, they'll be going to the local newspaper or something like that. That went to The Australian. The Make-A-Wish Foundation that I did on the weekend, that'll obviously be spread across their charity and their supporters. So I love knowing, and that's a question that I ask whenever I do a photo shoot, where are you using these photos? Because even that dictates how I take the photos, because if they're for social media, particularly for Instagram, I shoot vertical. Where if it's being for a website, for instance, then I shoot horizontal. So it even determines how I shoot.
That's really interesting. I think, you know, understanding that foundation can help you make the right styling and direction decisions.
Mm.
And I know that we've had a few mutual clients as well, helping them to get their products online and just teaching them about what you're taking the photo of and what's important, but having the ability that you can kind of, you know, crop into it to create a banner or, you know, use it in different contexts as well. It's kind of helpful to know up front where
Absolutely.
It's going to be used. So, yeah, I think, you know, any business owner needs to work directly with their photographer and to have that conversation over the context. So then they're bringing together what they need to achieve.
Exactly. Especially because what I do, the clients that I attract, for the whatever reason they attract them, I do deal with clients with an agency as well. There is sometimes that third party that becomes client agency me, but a lot of my work is direct with the client. So a lot of them are smaller businesses and they need to have that conversation. And because I've got that background in marketing and advertising, I know the right questions to ask to ensure that I get the right output. And often it's about educating the client about these things. They say, oh, I didn't realize that. Oh, I didn't know. And so it's okay. Well, let's just take a step back. Let's have the conversation to make sure that whatever I provide you in the end is going to be suitable for your output, whatever that might be.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So how would you recommend a small business or a, like, you know, whoever's at the head of like marketing who is getting the photo shoot done, how would you help them to put together a project brief so you know that you're capturing what you need to for the project?
I love a shoot list. Okay. Oh, I get very excited when I get a shoot list.
So tell us what's
your
shoot list.
So if, for instance, a client, I'm thinking of one particular one that was fantastic, and she did, so Sarah Yarrow from Sarah Yarrow Interiors and Yarrow Build. So she was fantastic. We spoke about the need of images for her website at the time, and when I arrived, actually prior to the event, she had done a list for me, and it was, you know, Sarah standing in front of this, Sarah standing in front of that, Sarah doing this, Sarah doing that.
Oh, that's very specific.
And it was so specific, and she had her wardrobe organized and everything, and it was just brilliant because it just meant that each and every photo was used for a specific reason, and she got longevity out of those images, which is really great because if you're investing in photography and quality imagery, you want to be able to use the images again and again. I see my photos as an investment. I don't see them as a use them once and then that's it. So even with your images, you are able to use them again and again. And that's what I really like. So I talk to my clients about that. I find out where the execution of the images will be. So for instance, e-commerce clients, you know, they need small resolution images to a certain pixel size so that when clients are on their page, that's flicking through the images really quickly. Versus if someone's going to print, then obviously they need a higher resolution image that can be used in print.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very specific. Like, 'cause online, like, you, it's really hard for people to experience a product online. You know,
so hard.
Like, you can't try it on, you can't feel it. You know, you've got also that trust factor with dealing with the business. So that photograph has 13 milliseconds to convince you that you're in the right place and you should spend your money. So it's really important, like you said, to kind of work to those parameters of the website and have those images so they are, you know, high resolution but low file size. Because this way you can actually zoom in on those details and you can see the embellishment if it's a fabric or something else quite specific. But at the same time, like what you mentioned, like, website sites, people slow down dramatically if your files are way too big.
And they're gone. And like, people leave.
You're shooting raw. Like, your photos are 20 plus megabytes.
Massive.
Like, there's no way you can upload that to your website.
No. And so the one of the fashion businesses that I provide photos for, they're 600 by 800 pixels. So they're just less than 200 KB, I think, on final output. Yeah. So that they can, she needs a front, back, sides kind of photo, which we do, and it works really well. Every client has a different need.
Yeah. And it also depends on the website platform they're using as well.
Mm.
So I tend to recommend a bit higher. So I work probably about 1,500 or 2,000 pixels wide. And for product photography, I like to go nice and square. Now, the way the Shopify operating system works, it actually reduces and compresses that file once you upload it. So it's good practice to get it as reduced as possible, maintain the integrity from your editing software, upload, and then compress even further. Because then you'll end up with a photo which has gone from maybe 500 kilobytes down to maybe 1 or 200, quite low, which is good. Yeah, so tell us, if you have like a new brand who's trying to get their products online, why should they work with an expert like yourself?
Oh.
Because
people, so many good reasons.
They love their phones, and there is a lot of great things you can do with it, but there's definitely a difference between taking a photo yourself and then actually hiring a professional.
Absolutely. And I see things that the client doesn't see. So, you know, obviously lighting is a really important part. People say, oh, do you want me to turn the lights on or lights off? I say, don't worry about all that. I manage my own light. I see things in my own way, and because I spend time with my clients asking a lot of questions about what they need, I feel that when it comes time to actually do the photo shoot, we're prepared and I can provide the best possible outcome. So with my lenses and so on, like, say you asked about my equipment before, like, I've got a variety of lenses as well, and what I see through my lenses isn't what we see through our human eye. And I have the ability to compress foregrounds and backgrounds. I have the ability to blur things. I have the ability to sharpen. So depending, so for instance, if you've got cosmetics or something, you might want a product in the foreground, then with some beautiful props in the background that, you know, give a vibe to that particular product. I think one of the really important things for people to understand is that professional photography actually increases your sales rate. So just by having good content, people are going to recall what you're promoting. So I've got a couple of statistics. I'll just have a look at them. So even for this one, I love this one. Visual content is 40% more likely to be shared on social media.
Oh, that's huge, isn't it?
Yeah. So if you're sharing images and you're sharing good quality images and you share them, you're going to get a higher percentage of people seeing those. And people, if you're putting information, so it's one thing to describe a product, but it's another thing to put an image with it. And consumers are more likely to retain that information if there's an image associated with the text. Mm. And I think that that's something really important. So whether it's a newsletter or a website or a blog, add imagery that's relevant to that information. And by doing that, you're increasing the retention rate. There's just so many wonderful positive things about it.
But also from like a branding sense, like if you're producing your own products, you want to make it easy for your suppliers to actually sell your products.
Mm.
So if you can have an asset library of all your products and your lifestyle photos taken professionally, and then you can hand that over to them either by Dropbox or USB or whatever your chosen means, or a shared gallery, you're making it easy for them to actually start selling your products, as well as making it easy for like media and other representation to actually start marketing your brand as well.
Absolutely. And I have got a client at the moment that I'm doing that with. So they've got products that we brand for their specific clients. So the goal is to create that asset library, that content library.
And I spoke about it on a previous episode as well with Elf Ceramics. Like, those girls have such a beautiful collection of images, and they've taken so much pride in their photography styling as well. And they said it's been a game changer for them to be able to actually get media to, you know, publish articles about them, because, you know, they'll get inquiry, they'll go, yep, no problem, super easy, here you go, here's our photos.
Brilliant.
And straight away they can, you know, go ahead and publish.
Mm, so absolutely.
People want to work with easy people.
People want to work with easy people. That is so true in every single way.
And it makes it a lot more enjoyable too.
Oh, it does. It certainly does.
Yeah.
And that's something that I strive for. Like in my customer service, you know, I do genuinely care for every single client and every single inquiry that I get. And I treat everybody individually, I hope. And I hope they feel that.
Mm. And I think that's the nature of small business. Because you and I are in small business.
Mm.
We're treating others how we like to be treated. It makes it more enjoyable. And there's a lot of collaboration that goes on. And, you know, it's all about referring good people because it is a reflection on yourself as well.
Yes, I agree.
So talking more about, like, lifestyle photographies for a brand, how much of your role goes into kind of, you know, planning kind of that storyboard and the styling that goes with it?
So different clients have different needs. So, you know, it might mean going to different locations, and I'd like to sit down and prepare those conversations with the client so that we have a plan for the photo shoot. And that's becoming more and more important as personal branding becomes more important to each person. I'm currently in the process of updating my website with a specific personal branding section. It is what I already do, but I think if people see the word personal branding, then they're going to go, oh, she does personal branding. So I'm, you know, in the process of finalising that at the moment and putting together the different galleries. So it's about finding out who they are, what they're about, what story do they want to tell. You know, for instance, with you, we went into the city and we did different locations with the city. With other people, we might go down to the beach, or we might go to their home. We might have photos in their office, or every single individual is different. And within that, they might have different clothing. For instance, I did a board last week or the week before, and there were several people in the board that I had to photograph. And then the CEO came in and she just wore three different jackets and a couple of different earrings. And even working with her to do that, because as a CEO, she often goes to events and she speaks at them from a, you know, we need sponsors kind of situation, versus when she's speaking to her staff or when she's out in the community speaking to families and children and so forth. So she needed a different look for each of those different situations. Mm-hmm. So I do take the time with individuals to find out what their needs are.
Yeah, perfect. And I think it's where it's challenging is for businesses that don't have that marketing or design background.
Mm.
So I think that's kind of where your role comes in from your experience, is kind of helping them with that brief and the styling to kind of get them all set up.
Exactly.
Because photography is just such a beautiful medium that can help businesses communicate directly to their customers. And I think for businesses that are purely online, they don't have that touch point of a retail outlet where people can kind of walk through the door and, you know, just experience their space. You know, businesses spend a lot of money and time actually doing those window displays, getting their lighting correct, and creating an experience in store for that customer. So I find photography is the next best thing for those online businesses, because it's recreating that feel. And it really is an opportunity to kind of tell their, you know, brand value proposition and different stories along the way as well.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
I thought we'd talk about the challenges.
Oh.
So
blurred photos.
Before we do, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the local space we're in. So today we're recording in Sydney, Southern Shire. It's where both Sophie and I live and run our businesses. And we're in a nice little co-working space called Niche Space. And so we've had the opportunity today to actually record in a podcasting studio. So that's quite exciting. So I just want to tell a little bit about Southern Shire. So Southern Shire, it's well known for its beaches and national parks. So it's a huge lifestyle focus for people who live here, as well as a lot of people who travel here as well. But I was excited to learn a little bit about the businesses in the region as well. So there are over 23,000 small business operators in the Shire. That's pretty cool. And retail is actually the second largest employer. Yeah, so retail is the second largest employer with 14.2% of people employed, and 8.5% of that is store-based retailing. So that's just pretty cool to know. So we have the highest unemployment rate in the country at 2.1%, which is really exciting news to have. And 57.2% of residents hold formal qualifications. So we're a smart bunch.
We're a smart bunch.
We're smart, we're innovative, we're entrepreneurial. And there's a really good community vibe here.
There is.
So I want to tell, I wanted to just chat to you because you're running a business locally and you're actually working with local businesses. Just what the last 2 years has been like for you and the challenges you've gone through with the pandemic and how you've got it through the other side with a bit of positivity.
I have been very positive. So in probably 2018, I decided that it was time to press the accelerator on my business. And I was ready. So I'd been operating for nearly 10 years. My children were all out of primary school and getting into high school. And 2018, 2019, I started to really think, okay, now I can get to where I wanted to be in terms of my business. And as we all know, in March 2020, things changed dramatically. So I went from my revenue to zero pretty rapidly overnight. And when April came of 2020, I was sitting there after a Zoom with my girlfriends from high school, just sitting there going, what am I going to do? I now have three children homeschooling and a husband working from home. How do I get out? And I came up with the idea of going out and photographing businesses and taking photos of them in their doorway and sharing them online. So literally that night, the 19th of April 2020, sorry, I don't have a thing for dates, I sat down and I went, Sutherland Shire, open for business. And it just came to me in my head and I Googled it. There was nothing else out there with that name. So I registered the business name. I registered the web name. I set up the email address and all those things just so that I owned it. And I set up a Facebook page and I just put a note up saying, who wants a photo? Let's get out there and do it. And because of JobKeeper at the time, I decided that I was getting JobKeeper and I would do the first 100 businesses for free. I literally did that post and started getting bookings.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first ones was a motorbike RB racing in Tarrant Point, Carringbah. And I went out there and he just said, my business has just gone from something to nothing overnight. He had all these race meets and everything. And when he rang me, I was like, are you serious? Like, you don't even know who I am. And he said, I just need people to know that I'm open for business. And then I had Tanya, who's a naturopath, ring me. And she's like, yep, I need people to know me because right now people are going to need to know that they can look after themselves. And then one booking came after a next. And I sat there on my couch every night with the computer, checking Instagram, checking Facebook, checking emails, checking messages, one booking after another. And because I had the CRM set up, the Studio Ninja, I was actually able to put the bookings into the system and literally went from zero income. And just over that period of time, obviously I got the zero income from the first 100 and it just gradually crept up. And now here we are 2 years later, I have this beautiful relationship with over 200 businesses in the Sutherland Shire. And what happens now is they ring me and they say, oh, we need an update on our shots. We need an update on these photos. Are you doing your website photography? I've got an event. Can you come to the event? And all of a sudden, all that goodwill that I did, you know, 2 years ago is coming back. And that's just really beautiful. And I am really proud of what I've created. I feel really privileged that I had the opportunity to use my gift of photography to get out there and help people. So now I've got about 4,000 followers on the social media platforms together and I'm just connecting people all the time. It's what I do.
That's such an incredible experience because I think there was just so much unknown back then, you know, March 2020. You know, in Australia we just had such tough restrictions. You know, the lockdown rules were intense, you know. And so for you to be able to give these businesses an opportunity to tell people, hey, we're open, when they've lost everything and was like, there's a lot of fear. People didn't know where money was coming from. They didn't know where the work was coming from. So, I mean, you gave them a bit of hope.
A little bit of hope. And that's exactly what it was. It was hope. And it was about, hey, we're part of a community. Let's all just stand up for each other. And that's what was really nice. Like one day, I had my friends who were down in Bundina. They actually posted it on their Facebook page and they got a whole heap of Bundina businesses lined up for me in one day.
Which is convenient from all these logistics.
The logistics. So you know, I drove out there. These guys that had set up the appointments, they drove with me from client to client. And it was back in, you can't touch anyone. Everyone was face masked. You couldn't put people together for a photo. So I was coming up with all sorts of creative ways of separating people in photos, which I actually really enjoyed. I thought it was really good. There was this like sense of personal space finally and respect for it. But some of those images, like I even did a doctor's surgery in Kirrawee, and I took photos of them all out on their back deck, spaced evenly apart with all their face masks on, you know. And I just think that there was some really great opportunities to be creative with those limitations.
But I think it's challenged you as a photographer, and it's challenged you as a small business owner as well. And I think without this project or business or however you want to think about it, you probably would have gone a little bit loco, I think. Like if you had no work, because your whole work was kind of built on the ability for you to go out.
Absolutely.
For you to go to people's premises, for you to go to events, and then all that had stopped.
Stopped.
So I think for your own sanity and creativity, it was a really great.
It was amazing. Yeah, and I've really enjoyed it. And it's a thing, you know, it has its own page on my website. It has its own social media. It's got its own logo. I definitely call it a project. It's a project to me about capturing, and initially I called it capturing the faces of the people in the Sutherland Shire. But what I've found out is some people don't like sharing their face, although I tell them it's really important too. So now it's capturing the faces, products and services of businesses in the Sutherland Shire. And that's allowed me to have a little bit more scope too.
And I think, you know, it's our responsibility being experts to kind of tell them the things that I want to hear.
Mm.
So quite often I'm having the conversation about a website about we need your photo on the About Us page because people want to work and deal with people. You know, it's personal. We want to hear your story. Let's get that photo up there.
Absolutely.
And it's a game changer.
It is.
People want to know that they're dealing directly with individuals and be inspired by it. And, you know, Instagram has definitely started a lot of that personalization as well. So I think that's important.
Absolutely. And I love looking at how, and that's what, you know, people say to me, what will I wear? And I just say to them, wear what makes you feel beautiful, you know, because in today's world where we have he, she and they, and we have, you know, unisex bathrooms and we have all of that, we have to be more open-minded. And I certainly am. I'm open to different cultures and different people, different age groups, different demographics. And you know, one day I'm shooting in Castle Hill. Last week I was in Castle Hill. Tomorrow I'm in Blacktown all day. The next day I'm in Cronulla. I did a photo shoot in Caringbah this morning. So my work takes me across all of the suburbs of the Sutherland Shire and beyond, and Sydney, and sometimes to the Illawarra or the Blue Mountains or up to up to the Hunter Valley as well. So, you know, and I'm willing to travel outside of Sydney for those opportunities if it means I get to take my camera with me.
Because you're a bit of a traveller at heart as well.
I'm on that plane, honey.
And I think it's good for your own progression as a photographer and business owner as well, just to be exposed to different people and places and cultures as well. So I think, you know, getting out of just the immediate region is helpful for
it's
everyone.
What I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a car, I can travel.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. And tell me
something. I might be driving to Alice Springs this week.
Oh, yeah, I might. When do you get that confirmation?
I don't know. Might decide today.
Oh, interesting. Well, if you need trouble,
I'll let you know.
Yeah, so tell me, like, because you've got three daughters.
I do.
So how old are they?
Currently 18, 16 and 15.
And then you've done a bit of travel with them as well.
Yes.
Yes. And why was it important for you to travel with your family?
Oh, I like my kids to have an open mind. I think it's really important. I feel that in today's world, we need to have an open mind. And by taking them overseas, we've been to Asia, we've been to Europe, we've been around Australia. So they've been able to see how different people live. And I think by doing that, it's opened up their minds as to what they can do in the future as well.
Mm. I think it definitely travel gives you an opportunity to just see life through a different lens.
And be really grateful for the life they have. And I think more than anything, like we've had some really, really special experiences where we've gone into Aboriginal communities. We've gone 5-star and everything in between. So, you know, we walked the Overland Track in Tasmania a couple of years ago. when they were younger. So they were only 15, 13 and 12 at the time we did the Overland Track, which is a 6-day hike in Tasmania through snow, wind, hail, rain and sunshine.
That's definitely one for, you know, building the rapport between your
Absolutely. And they were carrying all their own gear. They had all their own packs. They had all their own food. And you've got to encourage each other along through the mountains. And absolutely phenomenal. Like, we woke up on the first morning and the fields were covered in snow. And at one point I could barely see them ahead of me, and they were, because of so much mist and fog. And I thought, oh, my God, I've taken them to the Antarctic or something. And I was so excited for them that they were putting themselves out on this personal challenge. And as a family, we did it. You know, we walked across that finish line hand in hand, just being really proud of what we'd done.
That's amazing. And I think, like, bushwalking or hiking in particular, like, you're in your own head. So
absolutely.
You know, you can choose to be present and be mindful of the sounds you're hearing, each step you're taking, as well as what you're seeing, and the smells. Like, it's very sensory.
Mm.
Or you can get caught up with your mind going off into oblivion somewhere. So yep. it's a real exercise on being present as well.
I think so.
You're married, you're running a business, you've got three, you know, late teenage girls. There's a lot of commitment going on in that home dynamic for you.
There is.
How are you managing your motivation, your stress levels through this?
That's a good question. Coffee.
Coffee.
Sophie loves coffee.
All right.
Chocolate. I love chocolate too. In fact, I just found more Easter eggs on the weekend, so I brought them out and we've been eating chocolate Easter eggs this week.
You stash chocolate.
Like, oh, that. We are chocoholics in my house. In fact, my youngest, when we were going around Australia, we were at Cape Levique, which is north of Broome, and we were swimming in the ocean, and she just looked at me and she said, "Mum, can people survive without chocolate?" She actually thought that you needed water, air and chocolate.
No, I agree with her. I would definitely say they're the three things.
Yeah, absolutely. So we love chocolate in our house. What was your question?
I was saying, how are you managing your stress and motivation with all these things kind of pulling your time and your energy?
Yeah, look, it's just what I do. I think I've always been a positive person, and I've always looked forward, and I have the amazing support of my husband, Jonathan, who is phenomenal, and we've got each other's back, and he supports me and I support him in what he does as well. And my children are really incredible human beings, so I feel very grateful that as a family we sit around a table at night and we share what happens, and we plan and support each other to make sure that each of us get to fill our cup on a daily basis. But saying all of that, that doesn't mean that on a personal level there haven't been challenges. So I have suffered with anxiety in the past, and I suppose I still do to a certain point. I do see a psychologist, and I'm happy to share that with the world. I've been seeing a psychologist for 18 years, and I think everyone should see a psychologist. I think it's one of the most rewarding things you could ever do, actually.
Why do you think that?
I think it gives you the opportunity to have a sacred space that you can share and not have any judgment to what you're thinking or doing. I think it's a really special space, and I've been very fortunate that the psychologist that I met 18 years ago is still my psychologist, and I feel really blessed, I suppose, that she was the right person the day I met her.
And I think it is a matter of finding that right person, isn't it? It's not just go with the first one, because you have to feel comfortable and build this relationship with
but
her
she was my first one.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, and she's been amazing. You know, there have been times that have been really challenging and extremely hard. But then on the other hand, there have been times that have been easier, but she still helped me navigate through the easy times too. And I think that that's probably something people don't realise. You still need a hand to hold through the easy times, because ultimately you've got to be ready for the difficult and the hard times. So on a personal level, there's been lots of medical things that have gone right and wrong on our journey as a family, and they're really tricky. You know, both of our dads have passed away from cancer. So we both went back to back. So first it was Jonathan's father, then my father. And I actually stopped my business for a few months while I cared for Dad. And she was the one, the psychologist was the one that said, don't worry, it's okay. You can put it on hold for the moment and you can care for Dad and then it'll be there when you're ready. And it was.
I think, you know, being a caregiver, like you've got like this inner guilt. It's like, you know, do I not give my kids the time or do I not give my father? And then you almost have this other kid of your business. You're like, oh, what if I, you know, put that on hold? Am I allowed? Like,
I was allowed.
To be have somebody external actually give you permission.
Yes.
When you were thinking it, but didn't know if it was the right call.
And I still remember saying to her, I said, oh, but I'll just take, like, I won't take on existing new clients. I'll just do whatever the new existing clients want. And she said, no, you're not listening to me. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, no. She said, no existing clients. I said, but what? And I still remember that day and making that choice that, hang on, right now, Dad needs me more than anything and my family and my children. And I wouldn't give back one second of that time I spent with him. Yeah. And it was weird because people would contact me and say, oh, you know, we'd like you for this job. I had one large company contact me and I said, I'm sorry, right now I'm unavailable. And I referred on to a couple of other photographers. And you know what? That client was there when after Dad passed and I picked up again. They were there and they were the first ones to book me back in again. And they were really lovely and understanding. So I think it takes a lot of courage to do that.
I think it takes a lot of courage just to be honest as well.
Mm.
And just to verbalise what's going on to people. Like at the end of the day, everyone's people. Like they all go through similar stories. And so the fact that you can share that with them, I think, is a good way of building rapport.
Mm.
But tell us a little bit about, you know, your sharing work with other photographers. Like, how do you feel about that idea? Because some people would see that as competitive.
Oh, no, I love my other photographers. I met one last week for a coffee. I'm like, right, when are we working together? Yeah, Anastasia, I've met her fairly recently. She's great. She's got a really unique style about her. On the weekend, I did a job with two other photographers. And in fact, yesterday when I was speaking to the client, they said, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was really great to see how well your team worked together. So I'm really proud that I've got some wonderful photographers in my network and we can rely on each other. And, you know, during COVID, when I got COVID, I meant to say, was that when I got it, I was devastated. I had to actually postpone a couple of jobs and there were a couple that I couldn't postpone because they were date driven and I was able to pass them on to other photographers. So I was able to ring them and say, hey, I'm in isolation. There's nothing I can do. Can you cover me? And they're the first ones to say yes. So I've got quite a few photographers in my network and we're all really open with each other, actually. We work together. And I have very much the philosophy that if I'm shooting a job with another photographer, I'm not the primary photographer and they're the assistant. We're both photographers. Just get the shot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not there putting my name on the back of the print saying that was my shot. I, at the end of the day, have a client that needs imagery and we will get it for them.
It's great to be able to fall back on that network. So, you know, you build a relationship. It helps you get more work. You know,
yes.
There's a lot of cross referrals. Plus, it complements what you do too. So yeah. There are instances where you may need two or three photographers and they all have their own unique strengths as well. So it actually brings something even better for the client at the end of the day.
And do you know one thing that's really quite funny is height. Different photographers and different height. So the other photographer I often work with is quite short. and her images, we could be standing in the same spot and our photos are different because
of
our position. Yeah, so it's a really weird thing, but that people wouldn't necessarily think about. But actually having different photographers in different heights is actually really cool.
Well, because in design, we talk about a designer's fingerprint. So quite often you'll see a graphic designer with a particular style. So you can pick their work over others.
Yep.
So are photographers the same?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We were just speaking before about other photographers that we know. Like, so there is obviously a mood out there for family portraits and stuff that's more vintage and earthy and that kind of movement kind of look. I consider myself a crisp, sharp photographer. So I'm colourful, I'm bright, I've got clarity, I've got all that sort of thing. So that comes across in my work, definitely. Yeah.
So for brands that are looking at kind of getting their lifestyle and their personal branding done, would you say that that's really important for them to like look at the portfolio of photographers to make sure there's a particular style if they're looking for that?
Yes, I think it is important. And it's also important to know that as photographers, we can adapt as well. So I have on my website my work and I have got a certain look about the way I shoot. And if you're looking at my work going, that's not what I want, I'm open to a conversation, but obviously you can see what I'm portraying. This is how I'm going to shoot. And I can edit differently. And I do that. But ultimately, you've got to connect with a business that is going to meet your needs. And there are more than, you know, like you've got builders or bakers or, you know, butchers, bakers, candlesticks makers, I say, you know. Well, you know, you can go to, you know, the supermarket and buy your meat, or you can go to a prestige butcher. Do you know what I mean? Like, and the same thing applies with photography. You've got different photographers providing different services. They've got different processes. They've got different camera gear. Like, I've got full professional camera gear. I've got backup cameras. I've got backup batteries, batteries for the camera, for the flashes. I've got backup flashes. I carry a kit with me with earrings, sewing needles, sticky tape, double tape. Absolutely, because if my clients are happy, my photos are happy. So at a wedding, for instance, if a strap breaks, if a shoe breaks, I've got super glue, I've got double-sided tape, I've got tissues in my bum bag to give to the mother of the bride when she's crying as I walk, I walk down the aisle and I can see her looking for the tissues. Or sometimes I have people forget their earrings, so I have earrings in my little survival kit. So every photographer has different ways of approaching their work, and it's important to have that conversation.
But even like with the jobs that we've collaborated on, like the clients' needs have been so distinctly different.
It's so different.
So like a recent client that we worked together on is a jeweller based in Sydney called Studio 303. Now, this is an older couple that's been in the business for 30 plus years. I've probably got my numbers wrong now.
40
plus years, yeah.
I think they've had the studio for 38 or 39, like the actual workshop where they do the teaching.
Like the physical space that's on Parramatta Road in Sydney. Now, they've got a very eclectic style of jewellery. It's all handmade. It's
I'm wearing
yes, you are.
Their piece today, actually.
So these pieces are just stunning. Their challenge was how to get their large collection of one-off pieces online. They had 400 plus and they were creating many, many more. And so for anyone that knows, like, to take a good photo, it's going to take you the same amount of time to do a photo of one item that you've only got one quantity versus if you had, you know, 500 units, etc. So, you know, you still have to go through the same kind of exercise of getting the setup correctly. So for this particular client, like, they're go-getters. They like to do everything themselves. So your role in this instance was actually how to train Ernst, the jeweler, how to actually set up his own photographs to make a quality image. And I think we got a pretty good result.
I think we got an excellent result.
Yeah.
Lots of dedication and patience and coffee and Tim Tams. You always get a Tim Tam with coffee with Ernst and Sharon. Absolutely. I still remember the first time I walked into the studio and he looked at me and I looked at him and, you know, months later we went camping together. So we've become good mates in the process as well. But he needed guidance. One of the biggest things actually for him was that export of the images into the right size and how to ensure that their images ended up on Shopify in the right resolution. And he also used software that I wasn't familiar with, but I was able to educate him and teach him some skills, even just simple things like file naming and file saving and renaming of files, all those sorts of things we were able to do together, not just the light and the actual physical click of the button to get the image. And I also did photos for them of the jewelry actually on people. So I did that with them. So we set up some models and we had all the jewelry laid out and we had a couple of sessions where we did all that. And then on top of that, the sort of model jewellery photography, he did the individual pieces.
And I think it was a unique way of working together.
It was great.
We're talking about working with experts and using them for their professional skill set. Mm. And in this instance, it was really important for them to be self-sufficient because they were producing so many pieces and need to be able to have the control to take photos on demand with multiple shots. So by you going in and setting up a custom space for them and teaching them how to do everything right, gave them the confidence to continue working the way they wanted to.
Yes.
But at the same time, the intervention of you actually working with them for the stylized model shots was a whole different approach.
Exactly.
Yeah. And like, I think file naming is something that people don't think enough of. I see too many websites where they just upload, you know, file 123.jpg. And the reality is it's not going to work from an SEO perspective. It's not helpful for anyone who has a screen reader. If your internet goes out and you get just a random, you know, square block of where your image is, all it's going to say is image 123.
Yep.
So file naming is really important, along with adding alt tags to tell people what is actually in the photo.
Yes, exactly.
And also makes it much easier for managing from your own computer because you've got like a file management system in place. So then you've got this asset library ready to go for when you do want to give your photos to somebody else, like a marketing or PR company.
That's right. And I'm actually working with a client at the moment. I did a photo shoot a couple of weeks ago and she's doing this amazing range of silk products. So silk pillowcases, eye masks, scrunchies, and she's going to be building into, you know, pajamas and things like that. And we had to do a full photo session of the products. And I've had to work with her to educate her about how these images need to be captured, exported, and supplied, because she's come from an accounting background and this is a whole new business for her. And I've been speaking with her. I'm like, oh, we need to speak to Shana from Alan Monk and just, you know, educating her about things I've learned from you. Exactly that, the naming of files, the file sizes, about how to do the Shopify, how you said you put up that file and then it gets compressed. And she's like, oh, this is all new to me. And I said, it is. And if you don't do it right, then you're not going to get any of the benefits. Those SEO, you know, rankings with Google, all that sort of stuff, you need to understand them. Mm. There's so much to understand and I respect that.
And in that, holistically, it doesn't take a lot more time either.
No.
It's just about developing good practices, yep, and getting it right from the beginning, because you don't want to upload something and then have to pull it down and redo, yes, it again.
Take our time to do it right.
Take your time, do it properly from the beginning, upload it, and then you're giving it its best shot.
That was actually in the Aboriginal smoking ceremony this morning. The man that spoke about taking time and doing things right the first time. And I was thinking about what I do in terms of photography. And one of the other things he said is, the more you give, the more you keep. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, wow.
The more you give, the more you keep. And I, you know, that's really interesting, because that actually helped me make the decision to share, like, about my anxiety and mental health side of things. I think by sharing those pieces of information, you're giving someone else out there might be listening and go, oh, okay, let's do something about that.
And I think that's one positive out of this whole COVID experience as well, is just life has become far more normalised with lots of different things, and people are being far more honest with situations, you know. You've gone intimately into their homes and into their lives, and there is this kind of openness. So I think people do learn and relate quite well to that open, honest conversation.
100%.
And I know that's one thing I'm getting better at in business as well, probably the last 5 years, is just really verbalising what I'm thinking.
Mm.
It's creating more opportunities.
And I think managing expectations as well. You know, if you can't do something, can't do it, or let's find out a way how we can. So it's not about putting up a block and saying, no, that's not in my field, da 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 da. Like, I had an inquiry recently. I didn't get the job, but I went along the path of going, yeah, I can make that happen. It just took going outside of my current situation and extending myself a little bit. The client's timeline was really tight, so unfortunately, just because of my existing bookings, I wasn't able to do that particular job. But I think being open to say, I'm ready to explore that and extend yourself. It's a bit like going on the overland track again, you know. Pack your bags and let's go.
It's a very human approach as well. Like, you know, that honesty, people understand, they get it.
Mm.
You know, it just normalizes it and makes life a lot easier to manage. Because you don't want to set an expectation and then all of a sudden everything's running late and then they think badly of you and then that affects your relationship and reputation later on.
Yes.
Like, you want to be able to set that expectation and over deliver where you can.
Well, that's what you say to me. You say, Sophie, you're always so good at communicating where you're going at. And that's something, you know, go back to those Concord Dordal days. you know, you get to a point where I'm just honest about what I can and can't do.
But you do it, so I haven't even thought about it yet. There hasn't been a moment where I'm like, oh, where's this stuff from Sophie?
Yeah.
So you're kind of...
Preempted,
which is great. So it's like, oh, I hadn't even had a chance to think about this project yet, but okay, at least I know where everything stands.
Yeah,
and I think plan my schedule with my clients.
I think that comes back from my advertising days and having to deal with the studio to get work processed.
You work with some major brands in your marketing days.
I have.
So who'd you work with?
Used to work in tourism at the Sydney Opera House, which was really big. So working at the Opera House was pretty exciting. But then I moved into the automotive industry and I worked in marketing for Audi, the car company. And then I worked with Toyota and Lexus, and I was marketing manager for Pirelli tyres as well. So yes, I do own a couple of Pirelli calendars, if you know about them. Pirelli calendars are very rare and very special, and to actually have them is pretty cool.
Okay.
Mm.
So are they, okay, so are they big collector's items?
They're collector's items.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Okay, where are you keeping them?
I'm not telling you.
Oh, Anne, one quirky thing about Sophie is she collects spoons.
Oh, yes, I do.
So you want to tell us a little bit about that?
I've been collecting spoons for a very long time, and the reason is spoons generally don't break.
True.
So you probably hadn't thought about that. So you can collect other things, like you might collect cups or you might collect other, you know, porcelain items, but spoons generally don't break. And I like different types of spoons. Not necessarily the ones you buy when you're a tourist and you're going from one town to the other, although I have a few of those. I like ones that are different shapes, ones with pineapples on the end or stars on the end, or they're in different colours and things like that. So I don't mind a spoon, yes.
And where do you keep those?
All over my house. In fact, my husband said to me the other day, can you just get rid of some of these spoons? Because in our spoon drawer, there's all sorts of spoons.
You have to alternate them, I think, have a summer collection.
I have so much pleasure in my spoons.
Oh, I might have to have an exhibition on spoons there, Soph.
You might.
Or an Instagram page.
Instagram page on spoons. Yeah. I have an Instagram page on trolleys. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
Like shopping trolleys?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can talk about that later. All right, that you can follow my page on 1, 2. No, do you want to know why?
Go for it.
So it's 1.2.3.trolleys because when my children were young, I used to teach them to count by trolleys. So as we would drive, we would count the trolleys on the road because where we lived at the time had a lot of abandoned trolleys. So you'd be going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 trolleys.
Wow.
And so on. So I think I'm up to 14. I don't do it too often, but enough. I posted one the other day.
That's quite an interesting one.
I've actually got the cover photo for the book ready because one day I want to have a counting book on trolleys.
Oh, fun.
There you go. Unique and different.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I'd like to know a little bit about trends. Like, what are you seeing in the industry and the businesses you work with?
So, one of the biggest trends right now is, Sophie, can I have the photos yesterday?
Oh, no, that's such across all industries.
Lead time is just reduced. And I think from a planning point of view and a business point of view, I've had to allow time in my diary to accept those short lead time jobs. So that's something I'm definitely doing. So the job I did this morning was booked in last Wednesday. And I got an inquiry yesterday that I'm pretty sure they want in the next week as well. So I'm still sorting that one out. So I think that in terms of client expectations of lead time, I want to be able to meet them, but I've got to also allocate time for editing and so forth to still be able to sleep at night. In terms of imagery, it's really interesting. I used to print a lot more and I still love to print, but you know, I used to work in marketing. So much of our budget was spent on printing, whereas now it's so digital. So it's about providing clients with the digital images to be used in digital platforms. And I just need to keep being updated as to what's on trend, you know, and also understanding the different social media platforms. And it's really weird as a photographer how videography sells photography and every other item that's available. So, you know, videography is really, really powerful and I need to do more videography about my business to promote it. So that's something I'm currently working on. I've met an amazing videographer that sort of establishing a relationship with, which is great. In terms of photography and the style of photography, I actually went to a wedding conference a week or two ago, and it's there's some definite shifts in wedding photography and what clients are wanting. So there used to be much more of a rustic kind of look, whereas now it's gone more traditional again. So black tie, less lace, more just beautiful satins and silks in terms of the trends of weddings. And then that's being captured through that really romantic photography, which is probably more in style with what I do in terms of that crisp, fresh, colourful kind of work. So that's exciting for me because that's more on my trend when it comes to wedding photography. In terms of corporate work and headshots, it's definitely about capturing people with the white background or the neutral background, but the personal branding is just so big now in lifestyle photography. So not only capturing the woman or the man or whoever with the plain background, but also taking the time to capture them in their work environment. And I think that's probably the biggest thing. And for me, in terms of business, I think the biggest thing on my back end is just making sure my systems and processes are as efficient as possible so that I can meet the lead times of my clients.
Yeah, okay. They're really interesting trends that you're seeing there.
Mm.
And how do you feel when people ask you about the quick turnaround? Do you feel sometimes you have to slow them down and put a bit of process in place? Because sometimes
yes.
That's a little bit of a warning sign that a client might have too high expectations and it could be a challenging one to work on.
Yeah, look, it just depends on what it is. So, for instance, I have one client that installs ATM machines into clubs and pubs around Australia and New South Wales. So when they contact me, I know that there's a 24-hour turnaround. So I know that when I get that job, I'm in, I do the job and out it goes. If it's a big job, like I did a 7-hour job with 3 photographers on Saturday night, I said, okay, well, on Monday you'll have a sneak peek of 20-something photos and it's going to take X amount of time to then deliver the whole collection. So I'm always asking my clients, what deadlines do you have? And I will let them know if it's achievable or not.
And I think you do. You have to work backwards because
absolutely.
There's so many pieces in between taking that photo, giving them the final outcome.
Yes.
The process that they have to go through.
Download, back up.
And quite often, especially with work I do, you know, project slows down when it gets in the client's hands.
Yes.
Because they get caught up in the day-to-day operations, but they haven't done that photo shoot. They haven't created that content. They haven't proofed something.
Yes.
So I can't progress, and it's the same with you. So even though you've technically done your job of taking the photo, they need to approve it before you can actually get them the final outcome.
Absolutely. And so and different jobs have different levels of editing and so forth as well. So, for instance, the lady that was in The Australian, she needed her photos quickly, but then, you supply a gallery for them to choose their photo and then you edit, do a final edit, I call it, on that image that is the one that's going to go to the newspaper. So, yes, and it's just, and that's the thing with me, every single client is so different. I have lots of notes on my files so that I make sure I meet their requirements.
I think you have to because it's personal. So you don't want to forget those details and, you know, writing things down or dictating in another way is the best way to really remember and
that's
make
right.
sure it's accurate.
Mm.
Yeah, cool. So have you got any final thoughts that you'd like to share with us?
Final thoughts from Sophie B. I suppose for the people listening, I think a big shout out to Shana for creating this series of podcasts.
Oh, thank you.
of women in e-commerce. I think it's very, very cool. And I really like the opportunity to be part of that program because there are so many different people doing great things. And I think to be able to have the opportunity to voice what's going on in my little head, if even one sentence of what I've said today inspires you, then that's a major tick. So go out there and buy a new camera or book in to see a psychologist or hire an expert in Shopify
or photography
or improve your CRM and your online systems to improve your efficiency and processing. If hopefully any of those little things have inspired you, then that's awesome. And ultimately, don't forget to stir your coffee with a spoon.
Oh, yes. And maybe buy a second spoon so that inspires you. That's interesting.
Put it in the trolley and take it through the checkout.
Let me just ask you briefly, just yes. in regards to like female entrepreneurship. Have you had any role models or influences, mentors along the way that have helped you?
Yes, I have, 100%. My mum, my dad, in a corporate sense, yes, there's a wonderful lady. Her name is Gudrun Adam. She knows this. She's been an inspiration to me since I first started working with Audi. She was my marketing manager. And in fact, I had lunch or dinner with her last week. We were meant to catch up in the March of 2020 and then that got postponed. So we finally managed to catch up. She's actually an inspiration and a mentor to me and someone that I've always tapped into.
And do you think it's important for everybody to have a mentor?
I do. I think it's a really nice way of sharing and growing together. So she was 31. I remember she turned 31 back in 1996. So she's not that anymore. And seeing her the other week and, you know, 20-something years plus experience on that, she's just an inspiration. And I actually wrote to her the other day and I told her that. I said, I know I've told you this before, but you inspire me. And then she wrote back and said, and you inspire me. So I think we've, as adults, we spur each other on and rely on each other, which is really lovely.
But even showing gratitude, like it releases serotonin and endorphins in the brain. So it makes you feel good and helps you take on new memories. And there's so many benefits personally from actually showing that gratitude.
That's right.
And I think mentoring is brilliant for everybody. And it can come in any shape or form. It could be paid. It could be unofficial. It's just having that person of influence at a particular time that can help you on your transition wherever you're at and to have the ability to share. So it could be business related, it could be personal related, or it could be a blend.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. And do you know what? Saying all of that, I think my three daughters are leading the way as well. I think having three teenagers growing up in today's world, listening to what they have to say. And I think as the future leaders, we need to stop and listen to what our youth are saying because they've got some amazing ideas. And they're so, I mean, I have given the gift of being open-minded to them. But they really are open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as adults, professionals, parents, leaders, even being on the board of the business chamber and so on, we need to stop and listen to what our youth are saying and what they're wanting and what they're needing.
Oh, really absolutely. Important. And I can't remember the statistic, but I think in the next 10 years or so, we're actually going to have a tip in the age bracket where these young people are actually going to outweigh the population of people above that age group. So they are the core decision makers, they are the core consumers, so they are the ones that are going to have to start shaping and taking the responsibility out of our hands.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. I think it's a really exciting time ahead. I think if my second daughter can do what she says she wants to do, I think we're going to have a hell of a ride ahead of us.
Oh, that's brilliant. Can't wait to hear. Write it down and check back in 10
minutes. Yes, we will. So. Good idea.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Sophie.
It's been a
real pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful to work and get to know you over the years as well. So a big thank you.
Likewise. Thank you, Jan.
Awesome. Cheers.
Bye.
Done.
Thanks for listening to our show today. Please share this with women you know who would benefit in hearing our stories and want the knowledge, inspiration and connection to build a business that they love online. If you love what you've heard, please rate this podcast with a 5 or leave a message in the comments below. Just like giving a review on a retailer's website, your feedback gives us credibility and helps more women discover us.